We come today to the end of our story of Ruth that we've been looking at together. This little book in the Bible that is very big indeed. And as we've been affirming along the way, this little episode in this life of this little family, in this big time of the period of the judges when Israel is just spiraling downward, this little episode in the life of this little family that turns out to be very big indeed. In fact, bigger than the other things that are going on in a national scale. It's a story that ends with happily ever after. And it ends with happily ever after because of the kinsman redeemer. What Boaz is for Ruth, the Moabitess, Obed is more so for Naomi the widow, David is still more so for Israel the nation, and Jesus is finally more so for all the world. With this in mind, let's hear together the end of the story of Ruth. Chapter 14, verses 13 to 22. Hear the word of God. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons," that seven is a sort of number of completeness. She means more than all the sons you could have. "Better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son." And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron the father of Ram. Ram the father of Amminadab. Amminadab the father of Nahshon. Nahshon the father of Salmon. Salmon the father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse the father of David. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that encourages us and comforts us and challenges us. May it do those things for us here today. May we know in our heart of hearts, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word, that you indeed have not left us without a kinsman redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Boaz is the obvious kinsman redeemer in the story of Ruth. People know that. I learned that in seminary. Story of Ruth, Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. We've seen that. We've seen that Boaz is the one that Ruth finds by accident. She just happens to be in his field one day. Sovereignty of God. And he's a kinsman. And he's one who can redeem her by taking her as his wife and then carrying on the family of her husband. And so, seeing that that family is redeemed, even though she didn't have children. Boaz is the obvious redeemer. But you know, nobody could have compelled or would have expected Boaz to marry Ruth. Throughout the story, she's been identified as Ruth the... almost every time, I mean, so often. The writer of this book, really against an awful lot of nationalistic racial sentiment about the purity of the race, they make very clear, this is not a Jew, this is not a Jew, this is a Moabitess, this is a foreigner. All the way through the book. No one would have expected that Boaz would have redeemed her, would have taken her as his wife. Denying her kinship would have been easy. Refusing her legal Levirate redemption would have been as simple as doing nothing. And bear in mind also, as we've seen in the story, Boaz wasn't even first in line to perform this duty. It would have been no problem for him to say, hey, look, anybody that would have come to him, and nobody was, saying, you know, you need to do your duty for your family. You need to carry on the line of Mahlon, right? I got the right husband, okay. Of Mahlon. You got to carry on his line. And it would have been very easy for him to say, hey, look, I'm not the nearest kinsman. There's another guy. Go talk to him. None of which Boaz does. In love, he properly secured this other man's right for himself and married Ruth the Moabitess. Surprisingly, graciously, Boaz affirmed his kinship with Ruth, though she was a foreigner, and redeemed her by making her his own. And he did it in love. The Lord did not leave Ruth without a kinsman redeemer. And by the additional blessing of God, we are told Ruth and Boaz produced a son named Obed. And what Boaz was for Ruth the Moabitess, Obed is more so for Naomi the widow. Obed, the baby boy who appears only at the very end, is the less obvious kinsman redeemer in the story of Ruth. He is the profound world changer by his mere presence. Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer, the women say to Naomi. And we would be inclined to think that they're talking about Boaz. He's been the big hero kinsman redeemer. But as we read on, we discover otherwise. May he become famous throughout Israel. Well, that could be Boaz. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Kinsman redeemer, Obed. He shows up, and Naomi's world is turned right side up. Her shame is gone. Having no offspring was an enormous issue in those days. Women in such a condition were called barren. And it was a name to be avoided at all costs. Her emptiness has become her fullness now that Obed is here. A bitter woman in a hard world has become a blessed woman in a beautiful world. Her life is restored. And this blessing flows backward, up two generations, from the younger to the older. This redemption comes from Naomi's newest kinsman. And Obed did all of this for his grandma simply by being who he was, her newborn grandson. What did Obed do? He was born. He was seen by Naomi and her community, and he was joyously welcomed into her family by her and by them. And at the very end of the story, we are told that Obed would become the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so, what Obed is for Naomi, David is still more so, will be still more so for the nation of Israel. David, the coming great king of Israel, is the kinsman redeemer for a nation who is attached to the story of Ruth. He will be the large-scale conquering hero by his faithful acts of courage. David will be the surprisingly chosen tribe of Judah, man after God's own heart, warrior, through whom Israel will be redeemed from her surrounding enemies. David will be the great king who puts Israel on top of her political world for a time. And later, when her political fortunes have turned and her nation has collapsed, Israel will remember David and long for the return of his day. And places will be named for him: Bethlehem, the city of David. And they will watch for a new son of David, who will restore God's kingdom, they believe. And then one day, this special son of David will arrive in that city of David called Bethlehem. And what David is for Israel, Jesus is finally more so for all the world. Jesus is the full and final kinsman redeemer toward whom the story of Ruth points us. Jesus is our kinsman, connected to David, connected to Obed, connected to Boaz, connected to us. Jesus is our redeemer. And the story of Ruth helps us to understand all of these ultimate things more fully. Jesus is like David, only more so. He is the large-scale conquering hero by his faithful acts of courage. Jesus is the tribe of Judah, son after God's own heart, warrior through whom all God's people are redeemed from all her enemies. Jesus is the great king who breaks into the world with his often invisible yet irresistible heavenly kingdom of love and establishes it in our hearts forever. Jesus perfectly and courageously obeyed his Father in the face of temptation, disappointment, torturous pain, and even death. And so he conquered death and hell for us. Let us rejoice that the Lord has not left us without a kinsman redeemer. Jesus is like Obed, only more so. He is the profound world changer by his mere presence. This kinsman redeemer is identified as the one born of a woman, Ruth's descendant, Mary. He shows up, and our world is turned right side up. Bitter people, worthless people in a fundamentally bad world, are turned into loved people, blessed people in a beautiful world. Jesus comes and redeems the world. All those who would tell us that material things are bad, the ultra-spiritualists, and they are among us. They are among us in the church. That spirit is all that matters. And flesh is of no account. Material things are of no account. We can despoil the planet because it doesn't matter. It's all going to go away eventually. Your body is ugly or of no account. Kill it. Beat it into submission. Or do whatever you want because it doesn't matter. With your body. Those philosophers are silenced forever because Jesus came into the world. He lived among us. He took on flesh. He breathed our air. He hugged other human bodies. And in so doing, he declared it all and made it all good, which is why we need to go to the legislature this week. Because those bodies of those little teenagers who are being used and abused matter. They matter. Whatever barrenness we suffer is redeemed by Jesus. The barrenness of not being able to have children, not quite as big an issue in our culture, but still a very big issue. Ask couples who struggle with this. It's huge. Unable to have children. People who are left without families, orphans. They are redeemed by Jesus. And listen, redemption does not undo the pain and the reality of that barrenness. Jesus doesn't come and say, it doesn't matter. Jesus comes and says, it matters very much. Your pain, Your suffering, your barrenness matters very much. And so I come and I die and I rise again to bring a new reality. No family, no problem. Through Jesus, you are adopted into God's family. You will have a family forever. You will have moms and dads, brothers and sisters, children, daughters and sons forever. And you are part of that family. The deep longings that are not met by those unable to have children or don't have a family, those deepest longings are met by God through Jesus Christ and His family, redeemed. You know, in our culture, Tim Keller is the one that kind of turned me on to this. In our culture, not having children isn't quite such a big deal. Culturally, it's not a shame. But there is a shame in our culture. In the culture of America, where Beyonce does her thing at the Super Bowl, etc., 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 the barrenness that our culture has is the barrenness that relates to attractiveness. Can you attract people? Are you hot? No? Are you witty? Do you have a personality that lights up a room whenever you walk in? No? Then you, friends, in our culture, are barren. And you know, did you hear Kevin last week when he was talking about Reno? Did you hear that little statistic? He's done the work. He's looked at Reno. There is a high number of people who are single. And they're past age when you might expect them to be married, right? People aren't getting married anymore. Barrenness. Nobody wants you? Jesus wants you. He wants you forever. He wants you with a love that is more passionate than any boyfriend or girlfriend you will ever meet. And His passionate love for your soul is now and it's forever. Redeemed. Jesus shows up and our world is turned upside down. This blessing flows backward and forward through every generation. And this redemption comes from our ever new kinsman redeemer. And like Obed, Jesus does this first and foremost simply by being who He is here with us. The Son of Man, who is the Son of God, Messiah, the Savior sent for us. And as with Naomi and Obed, listen, this redemption becomes ours as we simply realize He is here. When we believe He was born and died for us, when He is seen by us and by our community as the one who was raised from the dead, and as He is welcomed into our lives, we are redeemed. Let us rejoice that the Lord has not left us without a kinsman redeemer. And then Jesus, like Boaz, only more so, is the authoritative boundary crosser by His true love. Jesus, by His thoughts and feelings and will and actions toward us, makes ours the great love story that it is forever. You're living a love story, friend, if you know Jesus. And it doesn't matter what other loves we may have had and lost, or whatever would-be lovers may have used and betrayed us, Jesus' love redeems us from them all. Everything we were hoping for, everything we were looking for in love in this world is found in Jesus who finds us. And it doesn't matter that our love is too weak to carry us to Jesus and to heaven. Jesus' love saves us even from ourselves. And if Ruth was a foreigner to Boaz, we are more so to Jesus. We are sinful. He is sinless. We are mortal. He is divine. we die, he lives. No one could have compelled or would have expected Jesus to embrace such foreigners. Denying his kinship to us would have been easy. Refusing our redemption would have been as simple as doing nothing. And one could argue that Jesus wasn't even first in line to own us. By our sin, we belong legally to another first. We belong to the law. And here's what the law says to us. Only one word, ever. Guilty. That's it. We stand before God guilty, worthy of death, with nothing in our power, no resource in our control to change this horrific reality. God's law owns us. But then Jesus, in love, properly secured the law's right for himself in order to join us with him, in order to redeem us. By his sacrificial death, Jesus bought us back from the law and from death and from evil and from hell. Let us rejoice that the Lord has not left us without a kinsman redeemer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the book of Ruth. We thank you for the encouragement of the truth of your word that it brings to us. Lord, we thank you that you crossed boundaries for us. We thank you that you came for us. We thank you that you are history's conquering hero, eternity's conquering hero for us. Lord God, we thank you that you have not left us without a kinsman redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Time for us to pray for one another.